Good evening. This is your word of mouth news for Friday, February the 19th. It's 6:01, and I am Susie Alvarez.
And I am Kristen Schwartz. On tonight's program, we're going to be hearing reports and testimonials from Vancouver, where several hundred protesters have sent up a tent village in the downtown east side to highlight the destruction of affordable housing and displacement of poor people from the neighborhood. That's all about the Olympics, and it's coming up on the No One Is Illegal feature following our headlines.
And at 6:30 p.m., we turn the mic over to the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. They will be here in the studio with their regular feature. That's all coming up in the next hour. But first, here are tonight's headlines.
A newly revealed United Nations study estimates the world's 3,000 largest corporations are responsible for over $2.2 trillion in environmental damages. The unpublished report was conducted in the by the Principles for Responsible Investment Initiative and the UN Environmental Program. The study says that the companies will have to divert one-third of their profits, or would have to if they had agreed, one-third of their profits to pay for the environmental damage that they have caused.
And we'll see when that happens, if it ever happens. And the United Nations also has launched a new appeal to meet its $1.4 billion goal for emergency aid to Haiti. On Thursday, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said the UN is still $768 million short of meeting its needs for Haitian relief. In Haiti, fears of the coming rainy season were heightened on Thursday when a heavy downpour hit Port-au-Prince and was the second major rainstorm to hit Haiti since the earthquake struck. Thousands remain without any shelter, and tents provided to those who were displaced by the earthquake have been unable to withstand the rain.
And the United Nations has, in Afghanistan, six NATO troops have been killed in the deadliest day for NATO forces since launching the attack on the Taliban stronghold of Marja last week. U.S. commanders had claimed to have control over the city, but Thursday saw the most intense resistance of the six-day assault. Also yesterday, a NATO airstrike mistakenly killed seven Afghan police officers and wounded two others. The attack took place in the northern province of Kunduz.
And the United Nations nuclear watchdog says it's uncovered evidence Iran could be trying to develop a nuclear warhead. In a new report, the International Atomic Energy Agency warns, quote, the information available raises concerns about the possible existence in Iran of past or current undisclosed activities related to the development of a nuclear payload for a missile, unquote. The report also confirms Iranian claims to have produced 20% enriched uranium, its highest level to date. It was the first report on Iran issued under new IAEA Director General Yukima Amano. Iran rejects the report.
And in the United States, the Obama administration has changed the name of the U.S. occupation of Iraq from Operation Iraqi Freedom. The Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, he issued a memo this week announcing that the war in Iraq will be rebranded as Operation New Dawn. Gates wrote that the name change marks, quote, a strong signal that Operation Iraqi Freedom has ended and our forces are operating under a new mission, unquote. One problem, Operation New Dawn shares the same name as the November 2004 U.S. attack on Fallujah that killed hundreds of Iraqi civilians and displaced thousands more.
And in Niger, President Mamadou Tandja has been overthrown in a military coup. Tandja sparked political unrest last year after he altered the constitution to allow him to remain in office indefinitely. The African Union has condemned the coup. The soldiers involved say they're aiming to restore democracy to Niger.
In the U.S., an Internal Revenue Service building was set on fire yesterday after a small plane crashed into it in an apparent suicide attack. The pilot of the plane, Joseph Stack, and an unidentified federal employee inside the building were killed. Before flying the plane, Stack set his own home on fire and left behind a rambling suicide note denouncing the IRS and corporate bailouts. In addition to the dead IRS employee, at least 13 people were wounded. Two are in critical condition.
And also in the U.S., the Obama administration has reached a $1.25 billion settlement in a class action lawsuit over long-time racial discrimination against African-American farmers. The government settled a first round of claims in 1999 after a group of farmers accused the Agricultural Department of systemically denying them aid and loans granted to white counterparts. The discriminatory policy forced farmers to lose their land or plunge them deeply into debt. The new settlement will cover farmers' denied payments under the initial settlement. The deal now awaits congressional approval. John Boyd, a lead plaintiff and head of the National Black Farmers Association, said he agreed to the $1.25 billion settlement despite viewing it as insufficient. Boyd said, quote, many of the farmers have already died waiting for justice, so I thought this was the right thing to do, unquote.
And in Mexico, an activist widely believed to be falsely accused of the murder of American journalist Brad Will has been freed after over 18 months in prison. Will was shot and killed on October 27, 2006, while covering the popular uprising in the Mexican province of Oaxaca. His own camera captured the shooting, with armed men firing into the crowd from a distance. Will's family and friends have long criticized the Mexican government for charging an activist, Juan Manuel Martinez Moreno, instead of state-backed agents who they believe were responsible. On Thursday, Will's family welcomed Moreno's release, calling him an innocent man. The case remains unsolved.
And now Center News. And in Vancouver, 11 members of the Olympic Integrated Security Unit, including two RCMP members and four Canadian Forces personnel, have been relieved of their duties and sent home for disciplinary reasons. So far, police have not released details about the investigations or the identity of the officers involved. The ISU is made up of about 3,000 police officers from Metro Vancouver and about 6,000 police officers and military personnel from out of town who are lodged on cruise ships for the duration of the 2010 Winter Games. The cost of the force is about $1 billion.
And members of the ISU and local Vancouver police have been accused by independent media and activists of harassment, use of excessive force, and unjustified arrest procedures in the past days since the Olympic Games were inaugurated in Vancouver. Last Friday, police officers assisted by ISU and Canadian Border Services made three arrests during a peaceful anti-Olympic march. The next day, a total of 13 people were arrested during a demonstration. According to independent reports, activists and independent media have been harassed in the streets, given tickets for petty offenses such as swearing in public. And one journalist volunteering with the Vancouver Media Co-op was detained at the border and questioned by the FBI as he returned home.
That's it for our headlines for tonight's show. Stay tuned for more Olympic news when we come back with our next feature, hosted by No One Is Illegal.